Knife Will Cut for Anybody, A Sam Spade Case by Dashiell Hammett. When Samuel Spade knocked on the door, it swung open far enough to let him see the mutilated, dead face of a woman. She lay on her back on the floor in a lot of blood, and a red-stained hunting knife with a heavy 6-inch blade lay in blood beside her. She was tall and slender. Her hair was dark, her dress was green, her face and body had been hacked so that little beyond this could be said about her. Spade breathed out sharply once, and his face became wooden, except for the alertness of his yellow-green eyes. He flattened his left hand against the door and slowly pushed it further back. The fingers of his right hand, held a little way from his side, curved as if they held a ball. He glanced swiftly to right and left, up and down the ground floor hallway in which he stood, then into as much of the room as was visible from where he stood. The room was wide, and open double doors made it and the room behind it one long room. Gray and black were the predominant colors, and the furniture, modern in design, was obviously new. Spade went into the room, walking round the dead woman, avoiding the blood on the floor, and saw in the next room a pale gray telephone. He called the San Francisco Police Department's number and asked for Lieutenant Dundee of the homicide detail. He said, "Hello, Dundee, Sam Spade. I'm at 1950 Green Street. There's a woman here who's been killed." He listened. "I wouldn't kid you. Somebody's made hamburger of her." "Right." He put down the telephone and made a cigarette. Lieutenant Dundee turned his short, stocky back to the corpse and addressed Spade. "Well?" "Two of the men, one was small, one very large, who had come in with Dundee, were bending over the dead woman. A uniformed policeman stood at attention near one of the front windows." Spade said, "Well, the Argentine consul hired me to find a Teresa Moncada for her family or something." He nodded at the dead woman. "Looks like I did." "This her?" Spade moved his thick, sloping shoulders a little. "What you can see of her fits the photo and description they gave me. There's a fellow at the consulate who knows her. I phoned him to come over. He ought to..." He broke off as the men who had been examining the dead woman stood up. The smaller man, he had a lean, dark, intelligent face, wiped his hands carefully with a blue-bordered handkerchief and said, "Dead an hour, I'd say. This knife all right." Dundee nodded. "You found her?" he asked Spade. "Yes." "The street door was open, so when nobody answered the bell, I came on in and tried this one, and there it was. There wasn't anybody else here. Looks like there's nobody else in the house. I rang both upstairs flat bells, but no luck. Another thing, there's no clothes here except her hat and coat there on the chair, and there's nothing in her handbag except about $20, lipstick, powder, and that kind of stuff. That's the works." Dundee's lips worked together under his close-clipped, grizzled mustache. He was about to speak when a gray-faced man, wearing a wide-brimmed black hat, stuck his head in at the door and said, "There's a fellow says his name's Sanchez Cornejo, here wanting to see Spade." "That's the fellow from the consulate," Spade told Dundee. "Send him in." The man at the door stepped aside and said, "Okay, come on," to someone behind him. A very tall, very thin young man appeared in the doorway. His glossy black hair, parted in the middle, was brushed smooth to his somewhat narrow head. His face was long and dark, his eyes large and dark. He wore dark clothes and carried a black derby hat and a dark walking stick in his hands. He dropped his stick when he saw the woman on the floor. His eyes opened to show whites all around the irises, and blood going out of his face left it a dingy yellow. "Virgin Santissima." He went down on one knee beside her. Then he mumbled something to himself and stood up again. Color began to come back into his face. He bent over to pick up his stick. Dundee, scowling suspiciously at him, asked, "You're Sanchez Cornejo." Cornejo winced a little, as if at the lieutenant's pronunciation of his name, and said, "Yes, sir." "You know Teresa Moncada?" Cornejo began to tremble. He opened his mouth, but no sound came out. He nodded his reply. "This her?" Cornejo dropped his stick again and jumped nervously when it clattered on the floor. His dark eyes were wide with bewilderment. "Si. Yes, sir," he stammered. "Of course." "Sure?" The dark young man had recovered his composure. "Yes, sir, I am," he said with conviction. "Right. Come on back here." Dundee led the way into the next room. He waved a stubby hand at a metal chair, and the young man sat down. "Now give me what you've got." Cornejo stared at the detective. "I do not understand." Spade sat on the corner of a table near Cornejo. "What do you know about her?" he explained. "I'm Sam Spade, a private detective. Your consul, Mr. Navarrete, hired me to find her and told me you knew her. That's how I happened to run into this and call you." The young man nodded several times. "I understand. Senor Navarrete had the kindness to tell me." He smiled at Dundee. "Please excuse my not understanding. I will tell you all I know." "All right." Dundee's face and voice responded in no way to the young man's smile. "Do that little thing." Cornejo moistened his lips and looked uneasily at the lieutenant. Spade's manner was more friendly. "How long have you known her?"
3 years. "That is, I met her 3 years ago in the house of her uncle and guardian, Dr. Felix Hayat de la Torre, in Buenos Aires. But I have not seen her for quite a year and a half," he swallowed, "until today."
"An orphan?"
"Yes, and supposedly the second wealthiest woman in our country," he frowned earnestly. "That is why her uncle was so afraid, so anxious to find her. You see, she did not like her uncle, and she resented his perhaps too careful guardianship. And so when, on her 21st birthday last August, she came into control of her estate and was her own mistress, she left his house."
"And came to America?" Dundee asked.
"To North America? No, not immediately. But her uncle thought her too young and inexperienced and too wealthy to be quite safe alone, and considered it his duty to continue to watch over her in spite of her objections." Cornejo shrugged. "As I say, she resented that. And last month, she, with a distant cousin, Camila Fierro, disappeared, presumably coming here and assuming fictitious names." Spade nodded. "This flat was rented under the name of Thelma Magnin."
"Yes," Dundee said. "Well, Cornejo, or whatever your name is, who killed her?"
The young man's voice and eyes were steady. "I do not know."
"Who'd have reason to?"
"I do not know."
"Who'd get her dough?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"Her heirs," Spade explained. "Oh, I don't know. Her uncle and his sons, Frederico and Victor, are her nearest relatives. But she may have made a will, of course."
Dundee scowled at Spade. "What do you think?"
"Nothing yet."
Dundee looked at Cornejo thoughtfully, surveyed him deliberately from head to foot, and turned to Spade again.
"I guess we're safe in calling it a spick job. They like knives."
Cornejo's face flushed. He said stiffly,
"A knife will cut for anybody, I believe. That knife is not..."
Spade, grinning wolfishly, interrupted the young man. "How do you know she was killed with that knife?" Cornejo stared blankly at Spade. Dundee growled,
"All right. What does this other girl, this Camila Sierra, look like?"
Spade, still grinning, said softly, "I bet she looks more like that girl lying in there on the floor than Teresa Moncada does."
Dundee said, "What?"
Cornejo opened his mouth as if he were trying to say something, but no sound came out. His face was ghastly with fear. Spade said, "They must look something alike, or he wouldn't have tried to pass one off as the other when he found we'd guessed wrong." The young man could speak now, and did, very rapidly, so that his accent, barely noticeable before, became more pronounced.
It is true that they look somewhat alike, I mean, and I may have made a mistake. It may be Camila Sierra, and not Senorita Moncada, who was killed. I have not seen them since a year and a half ago, and..."
Spade said reprovingly and asked, How do you suppose I found this place? I don't know. By shadowing you. The young man lowered his head and stared miserably at the floor. Detective Sergeant Polhas, a burly, carelessly shaven florid man, appeared in the doorway, all through with the body. Wanted any more? Dundee's attention did not waver from Cornejo. Only a corner of his mouth moved slightly. No. Polhas left the doorway, and his cheerful voice came in from the other room. All right, boys, pack it out.